Good morning and welcome again to the broadcast. It's great to have you listening today, and we appreciate so much you joining us. And we're honored that you're spending a little bit of time out of your morning to study the Bible with us. And today, we're coming to Luke chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading in Luke chapter 7, verse 1, in just a few minutes. We're going to talk today about a really good man in the Bible. As a matter of fact, he was an exceptionally good man in many different ways. And as we look at this man, I think it's interesting to remember that the Bible does not even give his name. We don't know the name of this individual, but we know that he was a good man. And the very fact that we don't know what his name was does not keep us from learning about him and applying these lessons to our lives. So let's begin today by reading Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Now, I'd like for you to think with me for a few minutes this morning about who this man was and what kind of man he was. The Bible tells us that he was a centurion. Now, that means that he was a Gentile. He was a Roman soldier. Now, just consider for a few minutes the fact that he's not a Jew. He is a Gentile, and that's going to be important in just a few minutes. I just want you to put that back in the back of your mind and remember that this man is not a fellow Jew that is being talked about right here. He's a Gentile. He is a Roman. And the Bible says that not only is he a soldier himself, but he is a high-ranking soldier. Now, a centurion was a man that had under him about 100 men. Now, it could have been less than that at times. It could have been more than that at times because of circumstances that would arise. But generally and basically, he was over. He was in charge of 100 soldiers. So he's a man that has a lot of responsibility. And he's a man that has a lot of authority. And did you notice where he's at? Did you notice the city that we're talking about right here? The Bible says in verse 1 that he is at Capernaum. Now, do you remember anything about the city of Capernaum in your New Testament? Do you remember anything that Jesus said specifically about that place? Well, let me remind you that Jesus rebuked the people of Capernaum because he went there and he preached and he did many wonderful works, but they didn't want anything to do with him for the most part. And what we find in Matthew chapter 11, verse 23, is that Jesus said these words, And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So that's the kind of place that you're talking about. You're talking about a city that had full access to Jesus and to his teaching and to his mighty deeds. But for the most part, they didn't want anything to do with him. He taught in their synagogues. He performed miracles in front of them. They benefited because of his teaching, but they did not want to follow him because they did not accept his message. So that's the place that we're talking about, and I believe that really enters into the picture here, and it helps us to understand what's taking place. Now notice here that the Bible says that this centurion has a servant who is dear to him, and he's ready to die. And so this centurion talks to these Jews, and he says, I'd like for you to go and talk to this man Jesus of Nazareth, because I've got a sick servant, and I'd like to see him get better. Now, what does that tell you about this man? This man was merciful. He is a soldier. He is a high-ranking soldier. Now, these Roman soldiers were accustomed to conflict. They're acquainted with battle. They're not afraid to face situations where human lives are going to be taken. They're not fearful of taking human life themselves. So he's no stranger to danger and the risk of human life. And yet he's a very merciful man. You don't look at this man and see someone who has become so cold and calloused because of his line of work and his occupation that he doesn't have compassion on other people. That didn't happen to this man. You might think that he had become so hard-hearted because of the job that he has that he wouldn't have any mercy or any compassion toward anybody, especially one of his servants. But the Bible says this servant is very dear to him, and he doesn't want to see him die. I believe that this is just a great comment about this man that is made here. This is just one of the many good points that we see about him. But here's something else. We find that this man, although he has great authority himself, although he's used to telling other people what to do, he can say to this soldier to do something or to that soldier to do something, and that soldier did it. And he said to his servant to do something, that servant did it. Now you would think that a man with that kind of authority would let it go to his head, wouldn't you? Because some people do. Some people that are over just a few people, much less 100 people, let that authority go to their head. And so they become arrogant, they become prideful, and they don't want to listen to anybody else. Well, this man is not like that at all. He doesn't go to Jesus and say, now look, I'm a man of great authority, and I want you to listen to me. No, he said, I'm not even worthy to come into your presence. Now, what does that tell us about this man? He was a very humble man. He said, I am not worthy to come unto you. That's why he sent other people out to Jesus. He sent the Jews, first of all, to go to Jesus to ask about this. But then when Jesus came to his house, he sent some friends out to Jesus and said, look, I don't deserve to be in your presence. I'm not worthy to be even in front of you, but I'm going to ask you to say the word and heal my servant. Here's something else you find out about this man. He was a fair man. He was a just man. Why am I saying that? Well, the Bible says in verse 5 that he loved our nation. Now, that is the Jewish nation. Why would I say that he is a just man simply because the Bible says that he loved the Jewish people? Well, it's because of this. Many of those Romans detested the Jews. Many of those Romans hated the Jews. They looked at the Jews as troublemakers. They looked at their nation as just some kind of plague or pestilence on the earth. And so they wanted nothing to do with them. They really despised those Jewish people. And when you think about it, folks, some of those Romans had reason to not like some of those Jews at least. Because remember that the Jewish leadership was very corrupt. They were dishonest. They were prideful. They were hypocrites. And you know that some of the Romans had to know about the character of those Jewish leaders. But here's a high-ranking Roman soldier. And he knows about the Jews, and more than likely he knows about some of the corruption in the Jewish nation, but he's not blaming everybody because of that. He's not saying, well, there are none of those Jews that are any good. They're all dishonest. All those Israelites are bad people. He wasn't like that. He was willing to look at every man and judge every man based upon his own merits. Instead of making a blanket statement and saying all the Israelites, all the Jews are crooks, he looked at them and he said there's some good and there's some bad. You see, folks, he was in a line of work. He was in an occupation that people could have said the same thing about him. People could have looked at him and said, well, he's a Roman soldier. They're all bad. They're all vicious. They're all immoral. This man, the Bible says, was fair enough to look at the nation as a whole and to separate the good from the bad. And he saw enough good in these people to love them. It doesn't say that he just liked them. It doesn't simply say that he respected them. It says that he loved them. And what does it say also in verse 5? The Bible shows us there that he was a very generous man. Now, history does tell us that these centurions were well-paid people, and so he had some money. And with his money, the Bible says in verse 5 that he built a synagogue for the Jews. So added on top of the fact that he is a merciful man, that he is a humble man, that he is a just man, we find also that he is a very giving and generous person. He's not stingy. He's not a greedy man. He's willing to share and to help people who are not of his nationality. And of course, beyond all of this, and perhaps above all of this, this centurion is a man of great faith. He did not have to have Jesus to enter into his house and watch Jesus as he performed this miracle in order to believe that he could do it. He believed, folks. And the Bible says that he sent these messengers to Jesus. And he said, you don't have to come into my house, and I would appreciate it if you didn't, because I'm not worthy to stand in your presence anyway. And he said, I believe that you have the power just to speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And this is one of the few times in the Bible that the scriptures give these words. In verse 9, the Bible says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Jesus was surprised. He was astonished. He really wondered with amazement at this man and the kind of faith that he had. And notice that the first thing that he says in commenting about this man's faith is that he hadn't seen that kind of faith among the Jewish people. He had not seen that kind of faith among the Israelites. He said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And the Bible tells us in verse 10 that when these messengers got back to the house, they found the servant that had been sick, they found him whole. That means he was well. That means he was cured. It means he was healed. And this centurion had the faith that Jesus could do this. So let me ask us all to do this right now. As we look at this man, and then as we look in the mirror and look at ourselves, let's ask ourselves the question, am I a merciful man like this centurion was? Am I a humble man like this centurion was? Am I a just and a fair person like he was in dealing with others, in judging others? Am I a generous and a giving man like this centurion was? And am I a person of faith? Do I take Jesus at his word? Do I believe the word of God? You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe Jesus' word? Do you believe in the promises and the commandments of God this morning? Let's be like this Roman centurion, who is an unusual example of the kind of faith that the Jews should have had but didn't have. Let's imitate him in our lives, and let's take Jesus at his word. Well, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we'll look forward to studying with you, Lord willing, tomorrow morning at this same time. Thank you for listening, and have a great rest of the day.